From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Duran Martinez, your host of the Michigan Talk Network, brought to you in part by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. As I said before, it's been a great, almost the perfect storm for antler growth. And when you throw Lucky Buck Deer Mineral into it, into that mix, you're not only helping your herd and every other animal that partakes of the Lucky Buck, but you're really starting to get the antler growth out there. And make sure you go to lucky-buck.com to find out exactly where and when you can use Lucky Buck Deer Mineral all over the country. Those guys do a great job of updating all the information in the areas around the country. You can also go to our friends at HHA Sports, the number one name in single-pin archery sight technology. Had a great segment with Dave Chevalier from Crossbow Warriors in the first hour of the show, talking a little bit about HHA and some of the great properties of those products. Thanks also to MUCC for protecting our rights as hunters, trappers, and anglers in the state of Michigan at Acosta Sunglasses. See what's out there. Great products. All fine sponsors here of our show, Wild Michigan, on the Michigan Talk Network. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Tim Ray is our guest now, and this is something that a topic we really haven't covered much. We've talked about cooking wild game and prepping wild game, things of that nature. But we've never really talked about sustenance in the field, taking foods with you. For me, look, it's a 50-yard walk from the edge of the tree line to my stand. Okay, this is not a big adventure, but a lot of people that listen to the show do all day or week long or weekend adventures, and they need to pack food with them. They need to take things. And light is always good. And when you need good food, it's not, you know, a Little Debbie's in a wrapper, okay? You need good quality proteins and good sustenance to take with you. And jerky is one of the things many people here in the state. There are jerky places all over the state. But this one kind of caught my eye. And Tim Ray, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks, Duran, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you've got something. You've got this Meat of the Month Club called the Carnivore Club. Tell me about that first, because that leads up to what we're doing.
Yeah, so, you know, Carnivore Club is, we've kind of dressed it up to this kind of premium level. It's literally an artisan Meat of the Month Club where every month we, you know, find a really cool supplier of cured and smoked meats. And, you know, feature 4 to 6 of their meats in our box. So every month is really dedicated to one guy telling his story and really, you know, all the fun facts that go with it. And, you know, we ship all the way from Alaska to Hawaii and, you know, all the armed forces bases.
Helpful, because, look, MREs, not fun all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we have a lot of fun. So in the summertime, when it's hot, you know, we like to do a lot of like jerkies and South African style biltong, you know, summer sausages, things that are really, you know, more portable meats that, you know, stand up to the heat. It's, you know, great for hunting and fishing. In the wintertime, we switch more to like charcuterie, like more of the, you know, if you like that meat and cheese board with like the glass of wine or, you know, craft beer, we're doing more like prosciuttos and salamis and things like that in the winter.
Now, closetly, you're talking my language, because I like good, different flavors. You know, I want something as far as, you know, artisan-type meats and cheese. I really like that stuff. But look, I like a good old burger on the grill as well. And this is where the club really kind of piques my interest.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, we use, just from a, you know, logistics perspective, you know, cured meats are way easier to ship, so we don't ship burgers or anything like that. But you know, right now, summertime, this is kind of like the fun time where we get to like go to all these really cool jerky guys and say, you know, give us the best thing that you got. What's unique? What's new? And you know, we found some really cool stuff. There's this one guy in New Mexico that makes this amazing Wagyu beef jerky. Are you familiar with what Wagyu beef is, Duran?
You know what? I was just about ready to look that up on my phone, and I saw that. I'm like, am I even going to say this right? And I was. At least I had that part right. Explain to me, if you don't mind, what the Wagyu beef is.
So Wagyu beef is an Americanized version of Japanese beef, and it's just probably the most marbled beef there is in the world, and it's also probably the most expensive beef there is in the world. The amount of like fat that you'd see coursing through like the lean muscle is the most intense compared to, let's say, just like a regular AAA, Angus beef. But when you dehydrate it, the fat actually when you dehydrate it, the fat's what helps keep it really like tender and savory and all that flavor. Because sometimes when you dehydrate, let's say like a flank off of just a regular steer, if it doesn't have enough fat, and it just becomes this really tough piece of meat to chew on, right? So this Wagyu beef is really the top notch, probably the best stuff I've tasted in a long time.
You know, that's one of the things that me personally, I like jerky, but I don't like that tough gnawing sensation that you have to go through with sometimes. You know, I mean, just to get to the flavor, when you, like you said, when you rehydrate something, even the immediate texture for me, I like it a little bit softer. And when you bring up the Wagyu beef, and I think of Kobe beef, all these cows are like getting massages, you know, to make sure that this beef, I mean, this stuff, I get it and I don't at the same time. But how you've described the Wagyu beef, that just sounds awesome. That sounds more up my alley.
Yeah, yeah, and you know it's expensive. It's not like your regular beef jerky, but if you're looking for a different jerky experience, that's something to definitely check out. There's also some guys doing some really cool stuff with beef tenderloin, which that's the Rolls Royce of cuts of the meat from the cow. And there's a company called Three Jerks Jerky in California that are doing some really cool flavors with just beef tenderloin jerky. And same thing, it's the most tender cut of beef tender muscle in the cow, and it makes some pretty exceptional products.
You know, it's one of these things of you get what you pay for. And that's where I have been very difficult to convince that jerky, making jerky out of my wild game is worth it. Like I told you off air, when I shot my elk in 2013, everybody's like, oh, make jerky. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I just couldn't do it. But, to each their own. But you have my interest here with some of these other types of meats.
Yeah. I would agree. If you're going to have a chance to do some really cool steaks with your raw game versus, drawing it out, I would definitely go your route and have some really nice steaks on the barbecue. But, some of the cuts that aren't the most ideal for, barbecuing, they're nice to shave off and, dehydrate those pieces of meat. If you're just not a good cook, maybe drawing it out's the better route for you.
True. And I think it is, too. A lot of people had in their mind their hand out getting elk jerky. No, couldn't do it. But I love my friends and everything. But, I'll invite them over for elk burgers, or we'll do steaks or something on the grill, which Lord knows when you get an elk, you've got enough meat. Speaking with Tim Ray, Carnivore Club is our guest here on Wild Michigan. Speaking about some of the more select cuts and types of meats that he is processing and making jerky with, you can look on their website, of course, for Carnivore Club. And Tim, if you don't mind hanging on, I've got a lot more questions for you here on the show.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. We're going to talk more with Tim Ray here in just a little bit, because I want to get a little bit more in depth on some of these other types of jerky. The Crazy Horse and the Mountain America jerky, just a couple of them that I'm looking at and I want to find out more about, and also find out about this Carnivore Club, because I dig fancy meat sometimes. I know, look, I'll drink a cheap beer too. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Don't go switching the radio on me yet. Okay. I'm still normal, but I like to experiment with things. You're listening to Wild Michigan, being brought to you by Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Lucky-buck.com is their website. There is a link on our sponsors page and on the front page of wildmichiganradio.com. I'm Duran Martinez on the Wild Michigan Talk Network.
Mm-hmm.
can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, brought to you in part by the MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs. Find them, join them, MUCC.org, protecting our right to hunt, fish, and trap in the Great Lakes State. Speaking with Tim Ray from Carnivore Club here on Wild Michigan, talking about the different types of artisanal jerky. Is that a fair word to say?
I think artisanal jerky, all it really means is, you know, it's kind of handcrafted and, you know, unique recipes, and it's really put a lot of care and attention to the process versus, you know, the big factories, which are really just pumping it out using nitrates, and, you know, there's not really a whole lot of oversight put into the creation of each piece. You know what I mean? They're just really pumping out volume versus artisan is, you know, every one of your listeners that would make jerky at home is, you know, considered a, you know, jerky artisan of sorts.
No, because there's a lot of love. We know what goes into what we make, and that's what you are doing. And this is pretty much a natural process then, everything you're using?
Yeah, you know, so we, you know, Carnivore Club doesn't make any jerky, or we don't make our own meats, but we are really, what we do is go and find the people that love making meat and that, you know, really are craftsmen of their particular style of meat that they make. So, you know, for example, you mentioned Crazy Horse Jerky, you know, this really cool husband and wife couple in Pennsylvania, and they have this old school smokehouse where they smoke it with this apple orchard, like wood chips, and every single piece of meat, whether it's a chicken jerky or beef jerky, is hung by like a metal hook. And so when you get them in the mail, if you ever to order the jerky, or if you get it in the Carnivore Club box, if we feature it that month, everyone has this like really cool like hook hole in one end where it was hung on the hook, and it's got this you know, really authentic, you know, unique feel, totally different than anything else you would you know, get in your local gas station or food market.
Now, your field trip jerky is buffalo, and we know buffalo is one of those tough things. There's ranches out there, but still, it's very sought after, whether it's burger or it's jerky or something else, and you guys feature that as well, and it's quite a popular item for you guys.
Yeah, this month, actually, we're featuring field trip jerky. They're a really cool bunch of guys based in Brooklyn, New York. And yeah, buffalo jerky is actually, it's one of their exclusive items that, you know, they don't even sell it on their website because buffalo meat is so hard to come by. It's really high demand because it really is, I hate to say it, but it's a much healthier version than a lot of the, you know, corn-fed beef that are raising these huge commercial operations because, you know, the buffalo are really grazing and getting a lot more exercise, which means that the meat's leaner. And, you know, apparently there's just some more health benefits to the bison meat, and it's about 2 to 3 times the cost of beef. But we were able to twist our arms and let them put a half-pound bag in this month's edition of Carnivore Club. And I tasted the stuff, and you know what? You'd think it would be really tough because it's a lean beef, but the way they've added their spices and the tendering process really turned out to be a really cool product to eat.
Now, we here in Michigan, we hunt a lot of deer. We do turkey hunting, make jerky out of our turkey breast from wild turkey, or I had mine smoked, absolutely loved it. You know, if you're lucky enough to draw an elk tag in Michigan. So I think we've been eating the free-range meat longer than a lot of people realize, and we don't look at it that way. It's just hunting. We're putting food on our table, you know, so I guess we've never labeled it until now. And then when you look at how expensive it can get, we're doing a pretty good thing.
Yeah, if you can hunt your own game and, you know, you're getting the ultimate, you know, or, you know, quote unquote organic free range meat when you, you know, hunt your own. And it's literally like it's even better than farm to table because you're taking it straight from your, you know, natural environment and, you know, harvesting the entire animal versus, you know, in the commercial operations, you know, a lot of that product goes to waste. So, it's really fantastic. And I tell you, the taste profile from a wild animal, way more taste than if you're just to get, you know, just a farm-raised turkey versus a wild turkey. You know, night and day difference, which I'm sure all your listeners are very familiar with, so...
Speaking with Tim Ray here from Carnivore Club on Wild Michigan. Our website is wildmichiganradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Michigan or on Facebook. Find Wild Michigan as well. Mountain American Jerky, famous for perfecting the art of jerky and exotic meats from Tibetan yak to alligator and kangaroo. And the kangaroo is wild free range as well. This is not penned kangaroo, which I don't think I've ever used that term ever on the show.
Yeah, you know, in Australia, you know, there are no natural, you know, predators. So the kangaroo, they have a high birth rate, and so they actually cull the kangaroos to help ease the population. Similar to, I'm sure if you're familiar, but in Scotland, it's one of the only places where I know where you can actually like hunt wild venison and actually sell it commercially. And so we have a Carnivore Club edition in the UK, and you know, we're able to feature a lot of actual wild meats in our Carnivore Club box because you know, it's legal there to commercially harvest wild caught animals.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's really cool. We were in Ireland earlier this year, and I think we want to make a trip back to go hunt the stag over there and Scotland. Well, we might have to put that on the bucket list now also.
Yeah, you know what you should do is do one of their famous pheasant shoots. It's quite the ordeal.
Oh, God, now you're killing me. you have another jerky on your list here that I'm probably not even going to attempt to pronounce, but it's a venison jerky smoked in Texas with big flavor, and you got a bit of a cult following with that one as well.
Yeah, Prezex jerky in Texas. You know, these guys... same thing. You know, you'll see a lot of people that are doing these different wild game jerkies, but you know what they'll mince it with, you know, half pork and half game to try to get the cost down, so it's a little bit more economical for people. But whether it's Jerky America or Prezex or some of these other guys, they're literally just like lean strips of this wild game, whether it's kangaroo or, like you said, Tibetan yak or venison. They're literally taking just 100% of the muscle, tearing it against with the grain of the muscle, and making this like these exceptionally flavored products. And you know, it's really cool to when you're eating meat to, you know, there is a bit of a novelty, but it's really cool experience to be able to eat so many different types of proteins. It's it's a bit of a discovery, I guess.
No, and it all sounds cool. Again, you can find it carnivoreclub.com. Tim Ray, CEO, founder of the Meat of the Month Club website. That's so cool.
I mean, Ultimate Meat of the Month Club for anyone who likes cured meats.
You know what? And that'd be me. And we were in, just real quickly, I'll leave you with this. We were in Las Vegas for the SHOT Show a couple of years ago. And it was really cool because when you have all these gun manufacturers from all over the world, they like to entertain towards the end of the day. And it was fresh cut prosciutto and some cheese and some wine, and man, I tell you what, call me what you will, I enjoyed the heck out of that. It was just one of those things like, man, if this is free, I could just stand here all day, but oh wait, I've got to buy a $2,000 shotgun. I'll just take the samples. But awesome. Tim Ray, appreciate you joining us. CarnivoreClub.com, check out the cool meats they've got on there. Appreciate you joining us here on Wild Michigan.
Thanks, Trent.
Thank you.
Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, book knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez in the studios of the Michigan Talk Network, all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Find us on Facebook and on Twitter, at Wild Michigan. And sometimes, you know, you find people on Facebook and then all of a sudden becoming friends. Next thing you know, you're having phone conversations and damn, next thing you know, they're on the air. Rafe Parmalee. No excuses. No separation in that, and no more truer words. Is how we met. Hunting Trophy Trips is who he is on Facebook. And, you know, you get to meeting people. You get a lot of like-minded things going on. And, you know, it's funny. We have struck a friendship up via the Facebook, and now you're here on the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, we're doing great. Glad to be here with you guys over there on the East Coast. How's the weather?
Well, we have multiple coasts in Michigan. We've got the East with Lake Michigan. We got the West with Huron, the Northern Coast with Lake Superior. We got it all here. But it's all freshwater.
We got the same thing over here. It's cold on the coast. It's about 70 degrees, but if you go inland about an hour and a half, and it's 100.
Oh, my gosh. So, Oregon, you guys have an early season for hunting coming up. Your seasons start a bit earlier than ours. And one thing that I've always been really curious about is black-tailed deer. We don't really talk about it much here in Michigan. Maybe we got some guys that go out west to go mule deer hunting, but blacktail isn't something I've really heard a lot about, with the exception of my good friend Tom Nelson. But this is something you've hunted quite extensively there in Oregon.
Absolutely. Blacktail is probably the most elusive and hardest deer to hunt. We have whitetail here, and we have mule deer and blacktail, but the blacktail tend to range more in the thick coverage and steep terrain, and literally two steps and they disappear.
So why is that? I mean, I know they're a smaller body deer. Is it because they're in thicker foliage, and being smaller body, is that what happens?
Yeah, they're in thicker foliage. You'll have them, a good hour or so in from the coast range, but the Oregon coast range is pretty steep. It's thick. I mean, we've got ferns over here that are, 4 feet tall. And they'll lay right down behind a fern and let you walk right by them, within 5 feet, and you won't even see them.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, and pretty much everybody knows Will Primos. He came over here not too far from where I'm at right now on an elk hunt, and he did it on one of his Truth Series, and he said, I'd never believe there was even elk in here. And ferns this big until I'd seen it with my own eyes.
Now, here in Michigan, we've got like knee-high ferns, and they're great for grouse. But, deer, maybe head down, maybe smaller deer, but not like full-bodied deer. When you say smaller body for the blacktail, roughly on average, buck, what do they weigh?
If you get a big blacktail, you're looking at about 125 pounds.
That's like a big dog.
Pretty much.
Wow. See, I can see the attraction, though. I can really see the attraction with hunting a deer that small and elusive, for sure.
Well, you get a lot of, on this side of the states, you get a lot of logging over here because there's a lot of timbered land, big timber, and steep canyons, and they are a creature of habit. So as far as, they'll run a routine. There is an open space in there where you can get out and just... glass, unless you're sitting in a clear-cut area where somebody logged and it may have grown up and grown over, and you've only got about the first 8 years of really being able to even look at a clear-cut, and they'll lay out in there and feed, and they'll go down into the bottom of the canyons and feed, and it could be, it could be days before you even see a deer, even just out walking in the woods.
Speaking with Rafe Parmalee from Hunting Trophy Trips here on Wild Michigan. Rafe, bow or rifle, shotgun, what's the preferred method for you?
The preferred method for me is rifle. I used to bow, but due to circumstances with family members, you want to enjoy that time with them, and the folks can't draw a bow anymore, so we try to rifle hunt and make it a family event. But you can get them with a bow. There's a lot of bow hunters here on the west side. It's a tag you can buy over the counter. You don't have to draw it. And if you're good with a bow, you can get them with a bow, but you just got a lot of targets. You got a lot more branches and brush and different things to try to shoot through.
Now, is this tree stand hunting for blacktail, or is this more on the ground spot and stalk? And with a bow, I know that's kind of difficult.
Well, there's a variety of it up here. We do have some folks that'll do tree stands out here. You can actually bait the deer. You can throw out apples or whatever. Guys are using trail cams. So you can do either, or most folks we know generally do the spot and stalk.
Interesting. Speaking with Rafe Parmalee from Hunting Trophy Trips here on Wild Michigan. When you talk about a small body deer like that, you're probably not looking at a huge rack or you know, a lot of antler mass or even points, on average, what is an average and what is considered big?
If you're getting a 25-inch blacktail spread, you've got a big buck. You've got one that should put you in the Boone and Crockett. If the scores out good, but most of them are more of a basket rack. I mean, they're generally inside of their ears. They're not like the typical muley where you're looking at, you know, 30, 35, 40-inch bucks.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't hardly see that in a blacktail. In fact, I've never seen one. I've hunted for 40-plus years over here and got, I don't know, probably 75 deer, because you can get a doe tag and a buck tag, and you just don't see racks that size.
Are they really abundant? I mean, when you have that many that you can just buy over the counter, is that a pretty abundant species?
It has been pretty abundant. When they were logging pretty good, there was a lot of deer, because they'll come in and they'll feed behind where they've cut trees down and hauled out of there. Being they've pruned down the logging quite a bit, the deer numbers have actually dropped.
Interesting. It's almost kind of backwards as to what you would think.
Yeah, you would think, but something to do with the feed in there. I mean, they come in and they'll feed heavy, you know, in an area where they got that new grass coming up after they clear cut a unit. Sometimes they've switched more of the logging history over now where they're doing thinning going through, and I think that's had a pretty big effect on the deer. There's still plenty of blacktail, but it's just on the western side of the state only. The east side of the state is more sagebrush open,
mm-hmm.
Big timber, and that's more of the blacktail, or excuse me, it's more of the mule deer and whitetail country on that side.
Speaking of Rafe Parmalee here on Wild Michigan, check us out on Facebook, if you would. Follow us on the Twitter at Wild Michigan. And make sure you hit up our sponsors as well, people like Costa Sunglasses that have joined us this year. You can see what's out there with Costa. You know, like I said, I think out of all the years that we've done this show, we're coming up on 9 now, that Tom Nelson, host of the American Archers, the only guy that's even had a mention of blacktail. And then when we were talking with you on the phone, because, you know, you have these seasons come up. When does the blacktail season for bow start?
Bow starts at the end of August. Bear season starts over here tomorrow for blacktail. Bear starts at the end of the month for let's see, tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's bear season opens, and you can use rifle or bow. End of August, it'll open up for deer and elk, both for bow. So you've kind of got some options there.
Man, that sounds like a lot of fun. Fishing's pretty good, too, from what I see.
Fishing is good over on the Pacific Northwest, the Columbia River, the Umpqua, the Rogue. The list goes on. Right now, it's kind of hitting a lull. It's so hot over here that they've killed some of the fishing access until 2 in the afternoon because the water's low, water temperatures come up, and they're losing a lot of fish right now.
All right, Rafe Parmalee is our guest here. Rafe, if you don't mind hanging on, man, I want to talk to you a little bit more, maybe about the elk over there and how things may differ from us a little bit in Michigan. But out in Oregon, getting ready for a country music festival, Rafe Parmalee is joining us here on Wild Michigan. Of course, you can find him on Facebook, Hunting Trophy Trips. Always some great information, always some fun stuff to watch there. In you know, on the Facebook, and it brings us together, man. It brings like-minded people together, and that's why Rafe is on the show here with us today. So hang on, Rafe. We're going to talk with you more. Our first trip to Oregon via the telephone and via the show that is Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, interstate 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late, another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I am Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State. WildMichiganRadio.com is where you can find us online, and find us on the Twitter at Wild Michigan, on the Facebook, and find us and find our friends at Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. Love the Lucky Buck. But make sure you go to their website, lucky-buck.com, to find out where and when you can use it anywhere in the U.S. I'm thinking Ohio with some issues that they've been having with CWD because of a deer ranch owner that refused to follow the rules. There's some major outbreak of CWD. Well, with 13 deer, I'm considering that a major outbreak, but all linked to this one farm in Ohio. Again, not saying farms are bad. It's just the people that do not follow the rules ruining it for not only us, but the populations that we protect and try and build habitat for. Speaking with Rafe Parmalee, he is out in Oregon. We've been talking blacktail the first part of the segment, and now I want to talk about some of the species of elk you have out there. In Michigan, we have a pretty limited herd, but you know, we love our elk, but you have, not only do you guys have everything, look, you've got mountain lion out there, which we'll get to in a little bit, black bear, black-tailed deer, white-tailed deer, mule deer. You also have two species of elk.
We do. We got the Roosevelts, which are a bigger body, smaller rack. They generally range within about 100, 200 miles from the coast range. And then once you break over into the eastern half of the state, then we have the Rockies, which are the bigger racks and smaller bodies.
So not fair. And the thing is, too, what I've not seen on TV, although I don't really watch much outdoors television, that Oregon hasn't really been a huge destination on television. And I don't know why that is. Maybe I'm missing a lot.
Well, there are some TV shows that do some footage over here. I'm hunting Jim Horn. Teamed up. He's from Lapine, Oregon. He's about an hour and a half from where I'm at. You know, he teamed up with Primos, and they have done, you know, some like turkey hunting down in here. We got wild turkeys, but for some reason, I don't know why it's not hitting the television waves. But there's some great hunting up in here, especially up in the northeast corner of the state. Elk populations are doing pretty good. We do have some wolves moving into there now because of that whole wolf reintroduction thing, but we all know we have our own opinion on that one.
No, you can speak your opinion because we're pretty much of the same mind.
Well, yeah, I was pretty much adamantly against the whole wolf thing, but there has been some positives from it. It has changed where the elk are moving to, where they're going to, where they're feeding. It's changed their whole dynamic and where you go to find them.
Yeah, we've been having some issues here with some anti-hunting organizations who have basically had their backside handed to them because of letter of the law, you know, saying that, you know, our hunting and fishing rights are protected here in Michigan, and that in part to the amazing efforts of the Michigan United Conservation Clubs and other groups like them to ensure that we still have the right to hunt and to make sure that species that have recovered are still managed properly with science and not with emotion. So, you know, we can all have our opinion, personal opinions about how things are, that being the emotional side. Science has to prevail.
It does. It does. And we have like the Oregon Hunter Association over here on the West Coast, and they're fighting to, you know, make sure it's fair. But it seems like we have the overabundance of environmental folks. You know, they've changed the logging industry. They're changing, you know, the wolf reintroduction. One thing that Oregon does have going for it with the elk herds and things is they split the state in half as far as their wolf management program. So they've reached their limit on the northeast side, so they're in the process now of delisting them on that side, and we've only got a handful of them that rolled into the west side. So we'll see how that plays out.
Speaking with Rafe Parmalee here on Wild Michigan, hunting trophy trips on Facebook. And it's always good. It's good to get different perspectives on things because, look, I know a lot of times we're very like-minded on things, but to get the actual regional perspective from somebody who lives, breathes, does everything hunting and fishing in their state, especially a place like Oregon, which we don't have that much connection to, it's good to get that kind of feedback from you guys.
Well, it's always good to get feedback from both sides to kind of see what's happening, you know, because each state has a little bit of a different program as far as how they're managing their game. You know, like on this side, the west side of the state, you can get an over-the-counter elk tag and hunt the Coast Range for the Roosevelts, over-the-counter blacktail tag, over-the-counter bear tag, over-the-counter cougar tag and hunt. When you go to the east side, it's more of a draw system, all the blacktail over there. All the mule deer on the east side and whitetail are all draw. Same thing with the elk. I mean, if you don't get your first chance at a draw and get the hunt you want, there's limited access to go to a few units, and you can get a spike tag only, which is what we ended up with this year.
That's amazing. You know, here in Michigan, to get an elk tag, it's pretty much an act of Congress if you're lucky. It's a lottery system. And, you know, we have, you know, 30,000, 40,000 people applying for 100 elk tags. It's very difficult. We don't have that huge population here in the state. 2013, I was that guy. I was one of those lucky people to draw an elk tag. I drew an any tag, which allowed me to get a cow, calf, or bull. Was successful with a modest-sized bull. I mean, it wasn't a 300-inch class by any stretch, but it was my elk, and it was my only opportunity ever in my life I'm going to get. Which really, you know, there have been people that have been putting in for 30 years, however long they've been doing it, and still haven't been drawn. I bought one tag. Dude, it's all about luck.
it is that and doing your homework, you know, and it's just exactly like you said. It's your elk. You got it. And that's what the Hunt and Trophy Trips page is about. I started it almost 3 years ago. You know, trophies come in all shapes and sizes, and it doesn't matter if it's your kid and he shot his first squirrel.
Exactly.
Know, or your wife and she got her first blacktail, you know, or your grandpa that, you know, waited, you know, 30 years and he finally gets his first spike elk or, you know, his 400 class bull, you know, you do have that option to go do all those things over here and see all that. And it's pretty special.
Now tell me about mountain lion hunting. You know, I don't mind hunting things that could eat me, but that one, black bear, I know I got a damn good chance at, but when it comes to the big cats, I don't know. It sounds fun.
I'll tell you what. There is getting to be more and more cats, more and more black bears. Several years ago, we used to be able to run hounds on this side, and they somehow screwed that up, put it out to the entire state to vote, and they got away with it. So the cougar and black bear population have just skyrocketed. You're getting more interaction between houses and the public, and you know, because everybody's moving out into the rural areas. But a good cougar, you're looking at about 120 to 130 pounds. I got one that was 7'1", tip to tail, 112 pounds a couple of years ago. And well, I'll tell you what, that is the best eating. Oh my goodness! If you like pork chops, it's the same white meat, but it's just got a little bit of a sweet flavor. It's if you ever get a chance to have some, don't pass.
I could hear people screaming, what?
Yeah.
Because I did that when you told me the first time that you were eating mountain lion, that it's some of the best meat you'll ever eat. I'm like, I'm not getting that whole thing. That's awesome.
It's not your average house cat. I mean, it's not eating cat food.
No, not at all.
Yeah, they're pretty plentiful. I mean, I used to spend, I venture to say on average, probably 20 to 30 weekends a month in the brush and out in the woods, you know, stalking and spotting and, you know, checking cameras and, you know, putting out feed. And I've seen 4 in 45 years.
Wow.
So, and the fourth one I got. So he was moving.
Nice. That is awesome. Well, you know, I guess there's a whole new perspective that I can look at Oregon with black bear, black-tailed deer, white-tailed deer, mule deer, Roosevelt elk, Rocky Mountain elk, mountain lion, turkey,
bighorn sheep,
bighorn sheep, goats. There's 10 things right there that are how far are you away from getting the all the North American big game animals? In just one state?
They're close. We just need to get, I don't know what we're missing, actually.
There's a few, but not many.
Yeah, I mean, we've got most of it.
All right, so much. I appreciate you joining us, Ray Parmalee, Hunting Trophy Trips. Find them on Facebook. Great people, great conversation. Appreciate you joining us here, man.
Grant, thanks for having me, and check us all out, definitely on the Hunting Trophy Trips. It's not about just... It's not just about hunting. It's not just about, you know, shooting something. It's all about the experience and keeping that memory alive. Thanks again for having us.
Absolutely. More than happy to do it. We'll do it again. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks, everybody, at HHA Sports, the number one name in single-pin archery sight technology. Costa Sunglasses, see what's out there. Lucky Buck Deer Mineral. And the MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, protecting our right to hunt, fish, and trap in the Great Lakes state of Michigan.